With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time.
Rich Eisen.
Absolute.
Rich Eisen.
Friggin' greats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Thinking I have something to prove. Excuse me.
You on the wrong side if you're trying to win.
Earlier on the show, co-host of Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager. Coming up, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool. Los Angeles Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner. From TNT's All Elite Wrestling, Cody Rhodes. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Okay, hour TJ. Number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Two guests, two of them. One of them is a proffer to say the top waiver wire pickup in your fantasy football league this week, as the waiver wire is tonight. Rarely is your fantasy football waiver wire on the night of a game. But that's the way things are working in 2020. Bills and Titans tonight on CBS. That is a big game, 4-0 versus 3-0. And we talked about it, GM, we talked about it with Peter Schrager in hour number one. And how he said the Titans have had two practices in the last 17 days. So we'll see how they can come around. Chase Claypool is that player that's, proper to say, number one in your fantasy waiver wire. Unless you're in one of those crazy ass leagues where everybody's taken if they have a pulse. And tell me, Chase Claypool's been drafted in your 16 team league.
He was picked up, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Wow.
How?
I don't want to be in that fantasy league. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to be in that league.
I don't think you can hang, that's why.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay, for the draft alone. Ooh. I don't think you can hang.
And then great. Tonight is game two of the NLCS, and the Braves taking game one last night. One of the more, I've never seen this before, and you know, baseball is a crazy sport. Never seen somebody at a home run before in Ozzie Albies, and then the reliever that's being brought in to close things out, to warm up, to close things out, catches the ball. Mark Melancon is warming up in the bullpen. He throws a Fox cameras caught this one. This is great. And he throws a pitch and then turns, you know, as a reliever will do warming up to see what the action is on the field. So he turns to his right. And then all of a sudden he's standing there and just reaches up and catches the ball like he's Jeffrey Mayer.
With
a glove and everything. And
well, he didn't interfere with,
that's true, my bad,
with the play.
And there was no Richie Garcia, and the Yankees aren't going to win the World Series this year. So those are the main differences if you want to nitpick.
So that was amazing. So I'm wondering if because there are fans at these games.
Yes, there are now, yes.
In Arlington. So I'm wondering if he heard the roar or something, like what made him turn around.
I don't know. I just assume that pitchers are just like, okay, I just threw a pitch and let me turn and see what's going on.
I didn't see this. No, was he in danger of getting clocked by this ball?
No.
He watched it come right at him.
He threw the warm-up pitch, then kind of turned around and looked at the action, and then sticks his glove up and catches
the home run. Dude, he didn't have to move.
Didn't have to move.
Really, so like he didn't like take a step to his right or his left or leap up. He literally just lifted his glove.
Stuck his arm out.
And it was hit to him. I've never seen anything like that in my entire existence.
It was unbelievable. Me neither. It was great.
I haven't seen it.
So maybe things are going the Braves' way, and then obviously the Dodgers got a bad break today. Back spasms for Clayton Kershaw, who's been terrific in this postseason so far. And so now Tony Gonsolin, who has had, I guess, only fewer days of activity than, the Tennessee Titans in the last 17 days, he hasn't pitched at all. And he's going tonight for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, our friend John Morosi of Fox Sports tweeted out during our commercial break that a source from the Dodgers has told him that it's possible that Kershaw can go in game four, and even if the back spasms go away, game three. Now, anybody out there with a back problem knows, and especially when you saw Keenan Allen being worked on his back last night, mm-hmm. that's a wrap, man. I know it's always difficult for sports fans to think that some injury could be particularly significant if it doesn't involve a crutch or a cast, but a back is no joke. Anybody no out joke. There with a back problem totally knows back spasms. Kershaw could be literally lying on the floor right mm-hmm. now of his hotel room. And this has not been something that's new for him either. Mm-hmm. So this is no joke, but I'm hoping, you know, I imagine the team trainer knows a good chiropractor or specialist or masseuse or somebody that can work on Clayton Kershaw's back and make him as good as new. Well, that's no joke, man. So that's the current state Oof. Of things. And Justin Turner of the Dodgers is slated to call in here in 35 minutes from Texas, where they've been bubbled up for a couple of weeks now.
Great gig for Joe Buck. I mean, he did the Cowboys game on Sunday and walk down the street, do the baseball game.
No, I imagine, too, that Joe's got to be COVID tested all over the place. Because it's not like the United States Senate. I mean, you got to actually get COVID tested in order to show up for work, right? And be at a game and sports.
I would imagine so. Mike, right. You're the Fox employee. I think you could speak
yes,
to that.
Yes, I'm being tested. I tested it Friday.
Very good. Now, let me just speak to this as well and get to our poll question. And then four downs, 844-204-RICH. The four downs, I'm particularly I'm keen about this one. I like the formula that I come up with.
I like it.
Three takes in the NFL and then one hot take that I allow myself a hot take per week here on the show. So our poll question, Chris, unpack it right there. Chris.
Yeah, so it's Nancy Kerrigan's 51st birthday. So we're going to talk about, of course, the low point of her career, the scandal with Tonya Harding. What's the most bizarre sports scandal? Kerrigan Harding, the whole deal back then at the 92 Olympics.
Right.
Or was that 94?
I think it was 94 because I was in Redding, California at the time. Yeah,
the Lance Armstrong, the whole cheating thing, the denying it for years and years and years, and then admitting it.
Right.
The Astros and their weird trash can Theragun video room cheating scandal of the last few years, and Rosie Ruiz openly getting on the tee in Boston during the marathon and then winning the race.
Where does things currently stand right now?
Nancy Kerrigan's leading the way, guys, 58%.
Okay. So now I turn to you, Mike, and I said to you, you know, what's the craziest scam you've ever pulled? You told a couple, and you were like, you know, because I unburdened myself about in high school that I lied about doing a lab experiment in my physics class that I knew didn't exist, and I convinced my teacher that it did exist.
It was the ALCS, though, Angels.
Now,
you said I
grabbed an executive's.
I didn't grab it. I got it from the executive.
Okay.
With their name on it. So I can't be, I'm not blank by blank. I can't
but
be.
But you told the name of the executive. This is as high up as it gets in Fox Sports.
I was in the.
They're retired. Literally, they're, you know, one of them is probably sitting in Palm Desert right now.
Well, Jerry's going to text them, though. Because okay. Jerry's watching Jerry Steinberg. Our buddy. Okay. Our buddy.
Well, they're serious executives you did that for.
I was the top guy. I mean, they took care of me.
He was the top guy.
I was the top what?
Look how far you've fallen now. Now you're doing boxing.
Top guy now. No, I mean, they took care of me. Now. Right, they knew I liked the Yankees.
Very good. All right, let's get to four downs right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Every week I give you fresh takes, my only takes, my best takes on the National Football League week that's just concluded. And I'm not waiting till tomorrow because there's a game tonight. Honestly, there's only once every blue moon a game on Tuesday.
Go for it.
Here's my four downs right here.
Hut! Hut!
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did you stop me?
First down.
Okay, here we go. Through mostly 5 weeks of the season, my first down here is much conversation in the MVP race. We talked about it with Peter Schrager before. You're hearing about Aaron Rodgers. You're hearing about Josh Allen. Of course, you're hearing about Russell Wilson. And the one aspect about Russell Wilson's MVP campaign that you're always hearing about is that he's never received a vote at all for MVP of the NFL. Never before. And he's won a Super Bowl. He's been to two Super Bowls, right? Well, I've got somebody who's name is not being mentioned at all, who's won two Super Bowls and been to three.
Whoa.
And has himself never received an MVP vote.
Oh, I know where you're going.
His name is Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that Ben has never received a vote for MVP?
Wow.
Ever. Let's take the three seasons into which he made the Super Bowl. 2005, Sean Alexander won. Three other quarterbacks were actually receiving votes in that year. Their names were Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Carson Palmer got two votes for the Cincinnati Bengals that year.
Hey.
But Ben did not. 2008, he won the Super Bowl again. Peyton Manning won the award that year. There were seven runners-up for that MVP award. The quarterback who received the most votes other than Peyton Manning was Miami's Chad Pennington that year.
What?
With four votes. Yes. You know who also received four votes? Falcons running back Michael Turner. One Steeler received votes. One. His name was James Harrison. He got three votes. And another quarterback got a vote. And it was the one that Harrison eventually picked sixth in the Super Bowl. Kurt got one vote. Ben got zero. And in the year he made the Super Bowl but lost was the year that Aaron Rodgers deservedly won.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady was the only other one to receive votes in 2011. Ben has never received a vote ever.
That's crazy.
He may not win it this year, but he should at least get a vote. And he might not this year because they'll just give him whatever consolation prize they consider comeback player of the year, potentially. True. Unless Alex Smith starts putting games together. But Ben is the... Chase Claypool doesn't have four touchdowns in a game if Duck Hodges is throwing the ball to him. We could keep going on and on and on. The Steelers' defense is excellent, but they are undefeated right now because Ben Roethlisberger has shown up at the age when Philip Rivers is now diminishing returns. Eli is at home retired, and Big Ben looks like he did the year he came off the campus at Miami of Ohio. Ben should be in the MVP conversation.
I like that one.
All right.
Well done.
Second down. Now then, let's return to Russell Wilson, shall we?
All right.
Shall we? MVP quarterback this year, so he's terrific, and you can make the case he's the best quarterback in the NFL. Could you not?
I think you could.
So then you've got to basically take another leap here and say the best quarterback wide receiver combination in this league is Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. Name me a better one. Name me somebody who is being named for MVP at the quarterback position right this year and has somebody who has had all five games, 90 or more receiving yards, and he is a touchdown maker unless he gets the ball batted out of his hands as he's going to the end zone. He is amazing. He is terrific. He is a beast, and I'm not just saying that because he's called me a bigger beast on Twitter. Best quarterback wide receiver tandem in the NFL, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf. With Devontae Adams is out, Stephon Diggs is doing very well. Big Ben's got Juju and Chase Claypool, but best QB wide receiver combination. You need them to hook up right now.
Mahomes, Tyreek, Kyler, DeAndre.
I'll go Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf right now.
I like it.
Third down, please.
Third down.
Okay, and maybe this is the reason why we're not talking about this team, because Russell's in that division. And we just mentioned in terms of quarterback, wide receiver, you mentioned Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Right there. Okay. Yeah. Everybody's sleeping on the Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Everybody is sleeping on the Los Angeles Rams. Name me another 4-1 team nobody's talking about. We're even talking about the Browns at 4-1, because they're the Browns at 4-1. Name me another team with a defensive player of the year candidate and a former coach of the year. Name me another team also that nobody's talking about that is currently, right now, there are three teams in the National Football League, three of them, with over 2,000 yards in offense in this crazy-ass league that's going crazy with offense. Only three teams have more than 2,000 yards of offense through five games. They are the Dallas Cowboys, no surprise, Kansas City Chiefs, no surprise, and the Los Angeles Rams. Other side of the ball. There are three teams on defense yielding an average of fewer than 20 points per game as well. You've got the Colts, you've got the Ravens, you've got the Los Angeles Rams. There are two teams in the league whose defense is yielding an average of fewer than 200 yards passing per game. Think about that. In this league where, you know, to use the Michael Irvin phrase about the Cowboys defense, there's an Oprah defense. You get 200 yards, you get 200 yards, you get 200 yards. There's only two teams that's not yielding over 200 yards per game on defense on average. They are the Colts and the Los Angeles Rams, who, by the way, have the leading sacker in the league after four sacks on Sunday in Aaron Donald. Everybody, you keep sleeping on those 4-1 Rams. Keep night-night, nighty-night. And they are also the youngest team in terms of roster in the league. Night-night. Everybody go to sleep. Here come the Los Angeles Rams.
All right.
Fourth down.
Oh. Fourth down.
Rock-a-bye, baby.
Hot take time with the plank. Now, we workshopped this. You kind of threw out some scenarios earlier today before show about what the fourth down was going to be.
Here we go.
Curious where you went here.
Okay, here we go. Reports in New York City that the Jets are shopping Le'Veon Bell for the trade deadline. Because Le'Veon is now liking tweets that slag on his coach. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly been a terrible fit there for Le'Veon Bell in New York. And, you know, and they're thinking of trading him by the trade deadline, which, by the way, is Election Day.
Hey.
So I don't know if that means that there's only one place in the state of Texas for the Texas teams to make their trade, or you got to wait 15 hours online if you're the Atlanta Falcons in order to make your trade. I'm not aware. Placing that aside, Jets are trading the wrong player before the trade deadline.
Whoa!
Uh-oh.
Now is the time to trade Sam Darnold. Now. Do not wait till next year when everybody's figuring out what their plans are at quarterback. What's going on here? What's going on there? You just saw in Dallas how things can change with one snap of the football. You just saw it. And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody out there that's thinking that their quarterback just doesn't have it this year. And you get this kid in, you get him in now. Sure, you've got this concept of the issue of having to give him a fifth-year option and all of that stuff. But you can get him real cheap now. What are the Jets going to get him? Are you going to get a 2 for him maybe? 3 for him next year? You get a 2 or 3 right now.
Something
you get him
like
right
that,
now. Yeah. And you get him in your building now. And you can coach him up now. And you can get him now. And the Jets should just start Joe Flacco. They're 0-5. The coach is clearly a dead man coaching right now. There's no question in anybody's mind that the Jets have Trevor Lawrence right there in front of them. They should go out and go get him. Set Sam free now and do it now when nobody's paying attention. Now. Trade him now. Forget about Le'Veon. What are you going to get for him? A bowling ball so he can go out bowling when he's got the flu?
Nice.
Thank you. Trade him now, Jets. That's my four downs.
I like that. Just wondering the teams that would do it.
You're already even hearing the
Falcons.
Colts.
What about the 49ers?
Why not? Why not? Honestly, why not?
Jaguars, too.
Well, I think the Jaguars have Trevor Lawrence in their sights, too, potentially.
Okay. They've got to win. So
not, if you're the 49ers, why not? They were the ones who went out and got Jimmy G out of the blue.
Yep. For a second-round pick.
Why not? Jimmy G's hurt. You don't know if Beathard's the guy. Oh, is the whole system this system that? Why not? Get him now. Because the Jets, you might say, the market might be bigger now than the offseason when we don't know. Our plans are this or that. We don't know. You know what I mean? That's why it's a hot take. That's why I clutch the hot take plank.
With the mask.
With the mask.
Thank
Masked
you.
Up.
For 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chase Claypool is going to be joining us next. The fresh-faced four-touchdown maker of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Turner of the Dodgers on a day that Clayton Kershaw has been scratched. And you at 844-204-RICH.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. We are back here on Peacock. Look at, oh boy. So Sean Mitchell's one of our producers sitting at home, and he came up with this idea. And now look what he's dialed up. Look at this sort of stuff he's dialed. The Why Me Newsweek cover.
The trash.
There's Lance. The trash can for the Astros.
I mean.
And then Rosie Ruiz, there she is.
I mean, look.
Look at that old Adidas logo on her jersey.
Yeah, the
What's she thinking right there with the accepting the she's thinking, the wreath?
I'm famous now.
What's she thinking?
Yeah.
You had to get a token back in the day, too, right? She had to have a token.
Had to have a token.
It's no swipe cards back in the day.
I forget what line she was on. Might have been the green line or blue.
I mean, that was amazing.
Could you imagine? You can't do that now because you got the bib, the numbers, and everything.
No, there's no way.
No.
They could track you.
Someone would out you in social media.
Right? Somebody got Phil Jackson riding the bus home, right, after a Knicks loss.
Yep.
You would be like...
Rosie Ruiz actually passed away last year.
Okay. Why not? I mean...
No, right, I'm just pointing out.
I'm just saying. I mean...
It's 66.
I got you. We're going high register.
High register.
No big deal. We're going high register.
How do you think you're going to get away with that?
Yeah, like, what goes through your head saying, I'm going to take a train,
I don't know,
do like 6 miles, take a train, and...
I don't know. We are back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio network joining us now here on Sirius XM and the Peacock streaming app. Again, NBC Sports on Peacock every day from 12 to 3 Eastern Time. He was a dynamite presence for the Pittsburgh Steelers this past weekend, and it's been great watching him. He had that acrobatic catch in week one. Steelers fans are falling head over heels in love with him, and he's got the Snickers chain for the hungriest player of the week. He is the pride of Abbotsford, Canada. None other than Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers, fresh off his 4-touchdown performance. How are you, Chase?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on this show. What has life like been for you the last month, sir?
Things have changed quite a bit, as you can imagine, but I'm just trying to take it all in and enjoy the fall game.
And so what has changed for you? What has it been like? Walk me through it, Chase Claypool.
I think just more getting recognized more, walking down the streets in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
You know, the social media attention that I've been getting has definitely been increased tenfold. So those are just two of the main things that I've noticed.
Well, I mean, when you're winning the internet, Chase, with some of your memes that you're putting out there, that's going to happen. You know, you with the 7-Eleven tweet, you know, Ben, and then you, and then, of course, you... putting yourself on the head of Tom Brady with the four fingers coming up, that wins the internet. Chase, where'd you come up with that one?
Yeah, so the 7-Eleven was something that I was thinking about for a little bit, and I thought it was pretty clever.
Yep.
And I was kind of waiting to post it.
Yep.
Just waiting for the right time. And then my friend Hank Asaf went ahead and showed me that picture of Tom Brady, and he went ahead and made the edit for me, so I just posted that, and I thought it was a great time to do that as well.
By the way, on Cork and two, like that, on the week where you score four, that works. That absolutely works. Your relationship with Ben Roethlisberger, walk me through how that has been helping you so far in 2020, Chase.
Yeah, I think on the field, we've been trying to grow our trust within each other in terms of timing on routes, in terms of knowing the plays, in terms of if he wants to audible, if I'm going to know what to do. So I think week by week that's grown, and that's super important for him going into game day to know that he can trust his receiver.
And how about Juju? I imagine he welcomed you with open arms. He's an aces individual who, you know, has had issues with people who were there before him and being accepted and things of that nature. What's it been like with you and Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. He welcomed me with open arms for the very first time when I came there. you know, he was giving me all these great tips and advice on what to do on the field and then what to do off the field as well to kind of capture that social media brand. So he's been super helpful in that aspect. I can't thank him enough because, you know, he's already, I can already see the rewards kind of coming through. So he was definitely a big part of kind of the social media attention I feel like that I'm getting.
Well, and in terms of, again, of what you've accomplished in the first 4 weeks, it has been spectacular, and that will gain you some fame. I'm wondering how you got involved with football growing up in Canada. Normally I would ask, who's the guy that you grew up emulating? Was there a Canadian football player or anyone in the NFL? How about you getting involved with the sport of football, Chase?
Yeah, so I grew up a fan of LaDainian Tomlinson. He was a running back, and the reason for that is because I was a running back growing up, and I wore number 21 going after him. So I started at the age of 8 years old, and I wore 21 throughout basically my whole career. And just something that, you know, you play and you realize it's your first love, and you can't kind of step away from it. So definitely an odd path that I had to go through coming from Canada, but everything kind of panned out.
Is that why you chose 11? That you could add up the ones? It's a two, and you got a one on. I'm honestly serious when I ask you number 11. How that came by? How that worked for you?
Yeah. So I had a couple options of jersey numbers that I could pick. 83 was one of them, and that is the number I wore at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was time for a change. So there's a couple different elements that played a part. One was 11. I felt like 11 made me look like I ran faster. So that was important. And then when I was asked my family what number I should choose, a lot of my family members said 11 was their favorite number. So that was also a big thing. And then you could go ahead and add the 8 plus 3 equals 11 element into there.
Well, you know, Chase, we didn't meet at the Combine, but you know I run at the Combine. Should I wear number 11 then? Or you're saying it makes you look faster. I'm looking for anything to help me look faster. Why does 11 make you look faster, Chase?
Yeah, I think the smaller the digit, the faster you run in terms of just maybe even if that's just mental. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I think that's just something that's like an unwritten rule in football. Like, if I ran the same speed wearing 89, and then I might not look as fast as if I was wearing number 11.
So maybe it's just like stripes. It makes you look slimmer. Maybe that's it.
Exactly.
I just
that's right. That's right.
So, in terms of, again, Notre Dame, the story goes, Chase, that you had never heard of Notre Dame when their recruiter knocked on your door in Canada. Is that a true story, Chase?
Yeah, so I was very unfamiliar with Notre Dame. If I did hear them, I wasn't really correlating the college of Notre Dame or whatever, so... when the recruiter did come, I was very, very unfamiliar with them.
Okay. Does that mean you've never seen the movie Rudy, Chase? Is that what that means?
Yeah, so I didn't see the movie Rudy until I had gotten an offer from them, and I was on a plane ride to my first visit to Notre Dame. That was the first time I seen the movie.
So it just happened to be on the movie or on the plane, or you just thought, you know what, if I'm going to check out Notre Dame, I should see the movie Rudy to kind of get familiar with everything. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, so I went ahead and downloaded the movie and waited until I was on the plane, and then I went ahead and watched that, and I had goosebumps on the plane, which is crazy.
So how real was the movie, Chase, based on the experience that you then had yourself? How real is the movie?
I think in terms of the environment and the tradition surrounding Notre Dame, I think it was pretty spot on. You know, it's a special place to be, and Rudy kind of captured that. Pretty well.
Well, you know, guys here are giving me crap, Chase, because I'm a Michigan man, I'm a Wolverine, and that movie makes me break out in hives, quite frankly. You know, I'll be very honest with you, Chase. You know, but I think you understand that. We just, you know, these are things that that just that's oil and water. So congrats on this chain. How does it look on you? Have you posted anything on it yet, the Snickers chain?
Yeah, so I actually just opened up the box probably 20 minutes ago,
okay.
And I am excited to get some pictures in it because it's pretty sweet. So it's an honor to actually have that.
It's a piece of bling, possession. Right? It's quite blingy, that chain, right?
Yeah, so they actually told me that this chain has like 2,300 stones in it.
Jeez.
And over 30 carats, which is just crazy to think about.
I imagine so. So what's next? What's your encore, Chase? Give me an encore for you.
For the next, like, what the season's
yeah,
looking like?
Yeah, I mean, when you're 4 weeks in and you scored four in a game, I mean, you know, that's pretty rare. Last time it happened was 1979 for a rookie. So what's the encore? What do you got for me, Chase?
Yeah, I think the most important part is just picking up kind of where I left off. Obviously, I might not get four again, but another big week. You got to stack weeks. And, you know, next week against the Browns, division rival, is a good time to do that.
Well, maybe a sandwich at Primanti Brothers. That could be next for you, right? That you get something.
Might go ahead and do that right now.
Have you been there? Have you been there yet? Have you gone?
I have been there. I forgot what I got, but I just know I wanted to go back right away.
I don't know. Are they still serving the Roethlisberger there? I don't know if that's the spot, but maybe that's something you could get.
They might be. I've only went once, so I might have to go back and request that.
The fries on the sandwich is next level thinking. It really is, Chase. It really is. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, man, congratulations on it. I know you got a run, as I saw you did. Thanks for the 2 cents on that 11 is slimming. Didn't know that. And congrats on coming out of the gate like you have. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and good luck. Let's chat down the line.
Appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a picture of the chain and, tag us at Rich Eisen Show. We'll put it up, too.
All right, sounds good.
You got it. That's Chase Claypool, everybody. Kid doing well. Whew. As you pointed out, they really can draft receivers in Pittsburgh, can't they?
Oh, yeah.
It also helps to have a first ballot Hall of Fame trigger man.
True. But when you're not spending first-round picks on these guys, you can spend them elsewhere and still get the type of receiver talent that they've been getting for the last decade plus, in Pittsburgh later in the draft?
Right.
Oh, baby, does that help?
How about Chase Claypool, the rookie who did it in 1979, the first rookie since 1979 with four touchdowns in a game, right? Emmanuel Sanders, at his advanced age, 12 catches in a game. He had a career high last night. Right? You got Juju Smith-Schuster, obviously Antonio Brown, who may wind up in the Hall of Fame. Right? Lynn Swann and John Stallworth already in that room. The busts can talk.
Or Mike Wallace, too. That was
Hines Ward probably going to make
Hines Ward.
No first-round picks for these
Hines
guys.
Ward, MVP.
Yep.
Hines Ward should be in the Hall of Fame, too.
Well, I mean,
I think it's coming.
It may happen. Took a long time for Lynn Swann.
Yep.
844-204-RICH. Let's take the phone calls that are sitting right here. Corey in Cleveland, Ohio. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Rich, a fellow member of the tribe. Love listening to your show.
Thank you, sir. Right back at you. What's in your mind?
So I was calling because you were talking about sports scams earlier.
Yes.
I know the poll question.
Yes.
I had during high school, when I was 16 or 17, forget which, I had a friend of mine who was a vendor at Wrigley, and he actually ditched school to go vend at Wrigley opening day 1 year. And unfortunately, somehow the principal ended up figuring out that he was at Wrigley, called up the head of vending for Wrigley Field and told him, this kid's ditching high school. He actually needs to get back here. And the guy called my friend into his office and basically said, "You've got to leave, and I never want to hear from your principal again." Like, this is not cool.
This sounds like the original idea of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, quite frankly.
Was the principal's name?
It does.
Yeah. We needed to have somebody call up and pretend to be his dad and say he wanted the principal to give him the day off personally.
Was his friend's name Cameron?
Yeah, we need Cameron on the phone. What a story.
No, unfortunately, it wasn't. But
thank you very much. Appreciate it. By the way, I mean, we want to talk about a principal who is dedicated to taking out truancy.
That's a little much.
Do you get the phone? How do you get the phone number?
Just one kid. All I cared about was one guy.
One guy. Let him live, man. Enjoy that game.
blows off school to be at opening day of Wrigley and selling peanuts, Cracker Jacks, or whatever.
I love that.
I did that at Shea.
Singing along with Skip.
What did you do with Shea?
Skip school for Shea.
Oh, I thought you said you were a vendor.
No. I skipped school.
Those people work their asses off, those vendors.
My gosh. Yeah,
they, that's got to just be a bad. Plus, you get like ornery people that like.
Oh, there's jerks.
You're making peanuts.
Drunk idiots.
I love this one guy at Dodger Stadium. He can throw a bag of peanuts literally like 50 feet and hit you every time.
Unless he has back spasms.
Yeah, can he pitch Coke tonight?
Nice Coke. Can he pitch tonight? He can.
It's too soon.
Too soon.
Back spasms.
I had some back spasms in the last few weeks because my son is just enormous.
Right.
Trying to pick him up out of the crib on the ground. And I'm just an idiot. Like, out of shape, like... 40-year-old guy, I can't imagine what this guy's going through.
No doubt.
For an athlete not to play,
it's gotta be so bad.
You saw Keenan Allen. They were twisting him like a pretzel last night.
Yeah.
And then when I heard he's not coming back for the game, I'm like, I get it.
I was hurt on that one. I had him on my fantasy team. He started off on fire. I only needed 14 more points. I was like, yeah. Uh-oh.
At least you got a touchdown out of him.
Yeah. By the way, Rich, rolling a baseball on your back will not get rid of back spasms.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Really appreciate that help, Mike. Thank you.
Think about all the greats that bad backs have taken out, though. I mean, from Bird to Barkley to...
But imagine, how does one find the office number of the vending boss at Wrigley Field on the day of opening day, and that guy's just sitting at his desk? Or she's sitting at her desk or whatever.
And it didn't seem like this was very recent, right?
No.
So this was probably like, harder to find this.
Right? I mean, like, how do you look it up? You call, like, the front desk and say, I want vending, please. Hold on.
Hold on.
I'm boxing up some peanuts and beer.
They patch them through to the wrong spot, and it's Harry Carey picking. Hello!
Cubs win.
Before we send him back to school, can he bring me up 3? Did I ever tell you?
That's pretty good.
When I was at Northwestern Medill School of Journalism.
Should I call Cubs customer service right now and see if there's a vending?
Well, there's nobody. There's no vans. There's nobody at Wrigley right now.
True.
So when I was at the Medill School of Journalism, remember I told you that story about how I was at Michael Jordan's farewell press conference, right?
Yeah.
Covering it for the Medill School of Journalism. Jim Riggleman was named the new manager of the Cubs that year. I think it was him. No, it was Tom Treblehorn. My bad.
Just as good.
Okay. And I went to the press conference of the naming of the Cubs at Wrigley Field. It was the middle of the morning. I was the first one there. There was somebody already a Bloody Mary into the day sitting at the bar, and it was Harry Carey.
Wow.
The one time I met the man, and I imagine it was not a Virgin Mary that he was sitting there on that. No way. But it was bloody. Fact. I think that's what it was. Treblehorn was named. That was the Treblehorn arrived and Jordan left. An interesting cross section.
Oof.
As the White Sox were in the playoffs.
Did you get cropped out of that photo, too?
You were trying to holler?
No,
there wasn't a two-page spread of that press conference.
Holla.
Let's take a break. Justin Turner of the Los Angeles Dodgers will be joining us next on the Rich Eisen Show. Lots going on in Dodger Town and Dodger World and state of Texas. How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to GEICO during GEICOween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at GEICO have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to GEICO isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at GEICO.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy GEICOween, everybody.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey, because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. podcastone.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com, and as always, thank you for supporting the show.
Our radio audience is returning shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show, and once they do, in about a minute, we'll be joined by Justin Turner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, calling in from the state of Texas, going up against, interestingly enough, you know, I know that the Dodgers have scratched Clayton Kershaw. Why are the Braves starting the lead singer of Jethro Tull tonight? Oh, I'm sorry, it's not that Ian Anderson, a much younger Ian Anderson?
Different Ian Anderson.
There'll be nobody playing flute rock tonight on the mound?
I don't think so. Aqualung?
Much younger kid, huh?
Much younger. First time he's ever going to pitch in front of fans tonight.
Well, I mean, he's since his
high school.
Yeah, right.
Probably, yeah.
Did he come straight from high school? He didn't play in the minor leagues last year.
Oh, I'm sure he played.
I know he's new to to Major League Baseball, but
well, that he doesn't want to live in the past. So, you
like
know.
making a Jethro Tull pop culture reference.
Well, no, that
in 2020?
That was a Jethro Tull song, Rich.
Oh,
yeah.
So we're both making.
He played in the International League.
I just piggybacked.
Very good. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Now then, love this guy, not just because he's on hold hearing me say it, but I'll just say this. He has called in the show during the playoffs before, and I'm one of those hosts of a show where, of course, having big-name guests on is important, but I'm not one of those folks who's just like, okay, you agreed to come on, you lost last night, I'm going to make you call in. We gave this man the out. We called him up and said, very rarely do we send our bookers to say, hey, you know, if he wants to tap out, he can. But nope, he is calling in, and he's also calling in a couple hours after we found out that the starter for his team is scratched tonight, the one and only Justin Turner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. How are you, Justin?
I'm doing good, Rich. How are you?
I appreciate you calling in. Did you get the message that, hey, if you wanted to tap out today, you could? Did you get that message, or are you just learning that I gave you the out to not call in today?
I didn't know I had an out, but I wouldn't have taken it anyway. I would have called in.
I appreciate that. You're a professional. You're a lead pipe swinging professional. Okay, let's get to the news right now about Clayton Kershaw. Is there anything that you could tell me about him or what you know of the fact that he's scratched with back spasms tonight, Justin?
Yeah, I think his back tightened up a little bit on him, and they're just going to give him an extra day or two to make sure he's full go and ready to go for a start. So I'm not too worried about it. I think he's going to be all right, and he'll just take that extra day, maybe two, and be good to go.
Okay, and then what is your role, if any, with Tony Gonsolin tonight getting the start on absolute short notice? How do you handle your business to help him handle his, Justin?
Well, I don't think it was as short a notice as everyone might have believed. I think he was on standby and knew there was some stuff going on. So, you know, Tony Dre, he's a former position player, so he's kind of used to the short notice and playing every day. And he's one of those guys that's just an interesting guy. I don't think anything really rattles him. He's a huge, I don't know what this has to do with anything, but a huge cat fan. So he's just one of those weird guys. I don't think this is gonna rattle his cage at all.
All right, now I've got to pull at this strand right here. So the fact that he's a cat guy makes him perfect for tonight's start. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. You know, he's got nine lives. He's
okay. Okay.
I mean, he's so into the cat thing. He believes in Catterday. He wears cat shirts on Saturdays.
Come
on. He goes to cat conventions.
What?
My handshake with him is a little cat handshake, like licking your paws, licking your. So he's an interesting cat, but you know what? He's an unbelievable competitor. He's got four quality pitches, okay. And we have all the confidence in the world in him. He's eager to get out there and get on the mound and give us a chance to win.
Okay, so, Justin, if you don't mind, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep doing this. He's ready to pounce and land on all 4 feet, is what you're saying.
There you go. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Thank you. Wow. I didn't.
That was nice.
I did
that
not.
Was nice.
Thank you, sir. You know what? You're not the only lead pipe wielding professional on this phone call right now. So
that's right. This isn't scripted, everyone. This is not scripted.
Well, I'll tell you this. I wasn't expecting he's a cat guy, so he's ready. He's suited for this role tonight. I wasn't truly expecting that. he's perfect for all this. Okay, so You've been through these playoff rodeos before. You know, fans think anytime somebody reaches base that the series is over for your team. Being down 1-0 with your guy out tonight in Kershaw, obviously you have all the confidence in the world of your pitcher tonight. But how do you handle your business with the Dodgers being so poised in this moment, Justin?
Yeah, we just go about it like every other day. You know, obviously winning game one, you know, is always important. And obviously that didn't happen for us. But by no means did we think that we were just going to, you know, tap dance our way through this postseason and you know, run the table. So we thought that we know that this Braves team is a good baseball team. We know it's going to be a dogfight every night, and we're going to gear it up for tonight and try to figure out a way to win a ball game tonight.
So in terms of the circumstances, last we chatted, you were in Seattle going to a game in Seattle, just learning about protocols and just getting used to everything. What about bubbling up? Do you like it better than the way you were going about your business before? How do you feel about it, Justin?
You know what? It hasn't been too bad, actually. I think Major League Baseball did a nice job putting this thing together. You know, we have the whole hotel to ourselves. It's just us and obviously the Braves. And there's enough activities and rooms kind of set aside for guys to be able to not be locked in their room all day. So that's nice. And things are going good. I think the biggest difference is we're getting tested every single day now. So you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you go down and you do your COVID test, and you get the results within 24 hours. And so far, everything's been going really well.
And the test is the one up the nose? Is that one?
No, we're actually doing the spit test. So okay. We get a little vial and have to spit and fill it up to the line. There's a cap that you twist on there with a little blue liquid. And
oh, yeah.
Once that releases into it, you turn it in, and you're good to go. So it's not very, it's not invasive, which helps. That's nice.
Right.
You know, doing the nasal swab, which I haven't done yet. I don't know if you have, but I've heard it's a little invasive. And if we had to do that every day, that might be a little bit tougher.
Well, I've done both. I've done the spit one just this very morning, Justin, as a matter of fact. Woke up and did that myself. And then I've done the one up the nose, and it leaves your eyes tearing for a good hour. So
yeah,
if I'm a baseball player, clearly the spitting one is one I'm more accustomed to. So that's the one I would do if I was a ball player. You know, so that's probably that one. I didn't think I'd get into COVID testing with you either, but it is an interesting time. Is your wife with you? Do you have members of your family with you in Texas to watch or no?
Yeah, my wife's with me. In fact, I think majority of our team has their wife, kids with them.
Okay.
Here. So that's also nice as well. And then, you know, having them being able to come to the games is a plus. They haven't been to a game all year. So these games here in Texas were the first games they were able to actually attend in person. That's been nice. Obviously, it's always good to play in front of them. And then obviously this round,
fans.
You know, they're letting fans in for the first time. So that was, it was fun to get out in front of the fans last night for the first time.
So nobody's heckling. I mean, imagine the hecklers, you'd be able to hear like serious rabbit ears on that front with fans, fewer fans in the stands, right, Justin? Anything like that?
I think it's only 12,000 fans, so it's not like completely packed out. So yeah, you can hear pretty much everything everyone's saying. There were some fans last night up in the top decks who were just screaming, and you can hear that. And obviously playing the Braves and their fans doing the chop and whatnot, you hear that pretty loud and clear as well.
Okay, I bet. I absolutely bet. All right, so the talk of the Dodgers being the best team in baseball, is that good? Is that helpful? How would you term it entering this?
I mean, it is what it is. It's conversation, I think, for the media and the fans. But the bottom line is you got to show up and you got to play and you got to find ways to get on base and score runs. You know, that's the beauty of the game. It doesn't matter what it says on paper, who's supposed to win in baseball, you still got to show up and play. So that's why I love it.
Well, let me ask you this in the couple minutes I have left with you, Justin, is earlier in the week, when talking about you, I said you were very similar to Julian Edelman, the Julian Edelman of baseball, because you were somebody that was not heralded coming in. and has made the absolute most of the opportunity. And then when the chips are down in the postseason, just raising the level of play. How would you rate my analogy, Justin?
I'll take it. He's got a few championships under his belt, which I do not. So I guess we don't compare in that. But hopefully, we're looking to change that.
I bet. And one last one for you, Justin. Being a follically challenged man, I'm always asking you about your hair. Was it cool to have Dustin May as a teammate? Did you say that there's enough red hair and flowing red hair for Dodger Blue, or he was kind of infringing on your turf coming on to the team?
No. It's always good to have more redheads in professional sports. There's not enough of us. So the whole rumor going around is that, redheads are a dying breed. So okay. The more the merrier, in my opinion, and it helps that he has a absolute bazooka for a right arm. So it's always fun. It's always fun to watch him out on the mound and see him throwing 100-mile-an-hour sinkers and his long, curly red hair flying all over
just
the place
flying
while he's doing it.
Everywhere. Yeah. I kind of thought the first time, Dodgers have had Hollywood all-star teams. I honestly thought Carrot Top was your teammate first time I saw him on the mound. Justin.
Well, he's not quite as funny and doesn't quite have the personality as Carrot Top, but he's starting to open up and come into his own.
Okay.
He's real quiet and kind of to himself, but the more he's been going out and the more success he's having, the more time we've got to spend with him, he's starting to open up and okay. Like I said, it's awesome having him available, whether he's starting games or coming out of the bullpen. It's just a huge weapon for us.
Justin, I greatly appreciate you joining the program. Let's get you back on in the next couple weeks, too. Certainly to learn more about the feline habits of your teammates, at the very least.
All right, Rich. I appreciate you having me on.
Always.
Always a good time.
Thanks, you. Right back at you. That's Justin Turner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, I know, Chris, you've gotten in trouble before on this program.
Uh-oh. Where are you going here?
Talking about cats.
Oh, yeah.
I
sure.
I once, literally.
I stand by all of my.
No. Stop. Stop. Because you went so all in on cat people.
Yep.
And people love cats.
I
out
like
there.
People, but no, cats, I have a.
Well, I mean, you could say the cats are kind of the exact opposite of that they don't like people. But I'm a dog person. But I did have two cats back at Staten Island.
Like in your house growing up?
No, not growing up.
Like personally, you were a single guy and just owned cats?
I was not a single guy. I had two roommates.
Oh, okay. And they had cats?
They had cats. We named them Patrick and Kiki after Ewing and Vandaway.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
That was back when I like the Knicks.
Have you seen the viral video of the guy?
But you got to be careful. The viral video of the guy what?
Viral video of a guy hiking with a cougar. Like
I just watched that. Holy cow.
Oh, I know. Well, the cougar was protecting her kids.
Yeah. Right. It was insane.
That was a little frightening.
Apparently the guy went up to the cougar's chubs. Oh. I don't know enough about it. But here's the deal. Just be careful with cat people. Okay, because they love cats, I've got two words for you, Carol Baskin. Let's stop.
Yeah.
All right, we don't need that. We don't want it. We can't have it.
Also, that Netflix series, Don't Blink with Cats.
I just don't.
Yeah.
But how about that? Him saying that he loved. Could you imagine if he was pitching on a Saturday?
Catterday.
I
mean, and their handshake is like is a licking kid. Paws.
Which is not the most COVID-friendly handshake.
Nope.
I was a cat.
Hopefully,
for my
they're just mimicking
DJ
it now.
His mascot, say? My friend's DJ company. The cat was his mascot, like the logo.
Okay.
And I used to dress up in a cat suit.
How did he do? How
it was
did
fun for bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs.
You dressed in a cat suit.
This cat suit was like a $3,000 suit. It was unbelievable. It had fans, kept you cool inside. I loved it. There are pictures somewhere.
Learning everything about people. So we've got a surprise guest joining us the next hour.
Oh yeah.
Because he chimed in on our poll question, right?
He did.
And our poll question, Chris, why don't you name it before...
So we're looking at the most bizarre sports scandal in honor of Tanya Harding's... Nancy Kerrigan's 51st birthday.
What a horrible way to celebrate her birthday.
Well, we could have went... Yeah.
Okay, what
you're
else?
Right.
What else?
So it's Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding, Lance Armstrong, the Astros, and Rosie Ruiz. Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding lead the way at 59%. But according to Jeremy Schapp, we left someone off the list.
What did he's got something? He chimed in with somebody?
Yeah, so he chimed in with, he goes, sorry, Boris Onishenko wins.
And that's so it? And he just left it at that?
That's it, and then just left it at that. He's like, so I had to look up who this was. Apparently, this dude cheated in the 1976 Olympics pentathlon.
There is nobody like Jeremy Schapp. Period. End of story. Walking the planet. He is just the best. So he's going to call in and apparently put more meat on those Twitter bones right there. Your news update. I don't think we'll be talking about that with Cody Rhodes either. Hour number three coming up on the Rich Eisen Show.